Man, it's time to say something. It's time. The time has come to say something. Amen. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. If I stick with y'all, we'll be here all day. We'll start singing and be up here all day long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 58. We have some really great. Let's give our musicians a really awesome hand. We are so blessed. We're really blessed. My goodness, we are blessed. You got to know you're blessed. Amen. Amen. We're tremendously blessed. Now, we're going to get into this word here. Now, as we're getting to the word, I want to invite everybody to find somewhere to connect, especially the next 14 days. The next 14 days especially. We're in our fast. We have a three-week fast. This is the beginning of week two. Now, we have our life groups. You heard the announcement about that. So we got Soul Food Saturday. Wow, amen. That's pretty nice there. We got Soul Food Saturday. We have our Wednesday night Life of Faith Bible study right here downstairs. We have, get them all here. Amen. Monday, we have Golden Years, Monday afternoon. So anybody who wants to be a part of that, Mrs. Burnell, has a house is open to us there. So if you're available on Mondays, feel free to join the Golden Years group. Then Thursday, we have a family group, which is at the Roan home. And again, it's all here on the flyer. So we have a couple of different opportunities for you to get connected. This is why it's important to get connected. It's important to get connected because when I gave my life to the Lord, the most beneficial thing that happened to me was being able to connect with somebody, talk about the word that I heard, and talk about how it relates to me. To be able to get with some other people who heard the same word and be able to talk to them about that word and be able to talk about how it plays out. Because Christianity is strongest not when it resides here, but when it resides here. Christianity is strongest when it resides in your feet, when you go places. Because when we look at the armor of God, it says, first thing, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? It means wherever you go, you want to have that gospel with you. You want to have that word with you wherever you go, wherever your feet set. God told Joshua, wherever your feet set, that land I will give to you. Now, be strong and of good courage, for I'm with you. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about some fasting real quick. So those are our opportunities to connect. Connect with some people. Get into the word as you're going through your fast especially. And we're going to talk about this fast a little bit more here. So we're at Isaiah 58. I'm going to have you go to verse 6, and we're going to jump into this word. Amen? Amen. I'm changing my systems, and so I'm shuffling papers, but don't mind that. Amen? Amen. It just means I'm somewhat organized. Praise the Lord. Somewhat is the key word. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, says the Lord? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Amen? You break every yoke. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to fasting, there's two types of fasting. The one fast is a corporate fast. Okay, a corporate fast is an example of we call together ourselves as a group of people to fast together. Okay, we're going to fast. We're going to call ourselves together. We want to fast for a purpose. So an example would be in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Israel, recognizes that other armies have gathered against him. So what he does is rather than run out and try to fight an army that he's outnumbered by, he calls all the nation of Israel together and says, we are going to go on a fast. And we're going to go on a fast. And in this fast, you who I'm talking to don't eat. Your children don't eat. Your wife don't eat. And you better tie your animals up because your animals ain't eating either. Nobody's eating anything until we hear from God. And so all the people were assembled together and everybody's participating in this fast. They were fasting to get an answer from God concerning an adversary that was coming at them. So they corporately banded together in order to hear the voice of the Lord and to hear it together so that everybody heard the voice of the Lord. So a prophet arose and spoke the voice of the Lord to say, this is what God said. And he gave them something that aligned with God's promises. Amen. So the other type of fast is a personal fast. A personal fast, turn your Bibles real quick, Matthew chapter 6. 6 and 18, 6 and 16 real quick. Matthew 6 and 16. A personal fast is your own time to dedicate yourself to seeking the face of God. Amen? So, a corporate fast, everybody's called together to fast together. Individual fast is you and God directly. Now, what's the difference? The difference is you bring your needs together for your fast with God personally. You bring corporate needs together when you're fasting corporately. What we're doing is a combination of a corporate and individual fast. We give everybody different methods that you can use, things you can choose to do in the fast. And so we're calling for everybody to seek the Lord for themselves, but we're also seeking the Lord for his steps concerning fulfilling the promises that he's already made. So we were just singing that song that it's time to say something. You don't say something till you hear something. Sometimes we want to say something out of our heart. Well, I just feel like this. That's great, but you need to say what the Lord says. Because Jehoshaphat found out real quick, I am a king. I'm in charge here. But you know what? There's an adversary out there bigger than me. So I'm not going to have to go in my own strength. I'm going to need the strength of God. So I'm calling everybody together so that we can call on God, get a word from God that we can then stand on together and know that God is with us in overcoming our adversaries. Amen. Now, you need to know that really, really clearly, because as a church, as the body of Christ, there are big adversaries out in the world. There are big adversaries to the church. There are big adversaries to the body of Christ. There are huge adversaries out there. But those adversaries are just like those armies that gathered against Jehoshaphat. They're bigger. They know they're bigger. They believe they're bigger. And they're telling everybody that they're bigger. And they're saying that you are a goner. They're saying that there's no hope for you. They're saying that you won't exist in 20 years. Because guess what? That's what the world is trying to persuade the church. The church won't even exist in 20 years. And they believe that if they can attack the church's tax status, that will destroy the church. And you know what? It will destroy some Christians, but it won't destroy the church. And there's some Christians who won't give if they can't write it off on their taxes. But then you have your own reward because the IRS gave it to you. Anyway, I want God to be my reward. Amen? All right. Now that I've gone off track, let's come back here to the word. Matthew chapter 6. When you get there, tell your neighbor, he better stay on track today. I do my best, y'all. I do my best. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. We'll talk about that. We'll start there. Now, he just got finished giving the disciples the Lord's Prayer, sometimes known as the Disciples' Prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He goes through that whole process. He's very into that. He tells them that if you can't forgive your brother, don't expect God to forgive you. Amen? Now, next thing he says, now, moreover, verse 16, when you fast, now I just taught you how to pray, but moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Don't be like people who have to announce to everybody that I'm fasting. Brother, I'm fasting today. And you know what? Check it out. You can see my ribs. I've been fasting for so long. Don't be like them. Amen. Amen. I'd have to fast a long time for my ribs to show, but that's another story. All right. Verse 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in where? The secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When we do a personal fast and we dedicate it and we actually keep that fast to ourselves and we are actually us and God, we are dedicated, we are focused, we wash your face, you anoint your head. What does anoint my head mean? It means that I'm putting this Holy Spirit on me. I'm covering myself in the Holy Spirit. I'm anointing myself. I'm putting myself in the place to hear from God. He said, when you do that in secret, then your God who is already in secret, he will come and reward you openly. So you will receive an open blessing when you have done things in secret with God. That's why people will think your blessing came out of nowhere, because they won't be able to attribute it to anything because they didn't see anything. And when you're blessed openly by God, that blessing becomes a testimony to the unbeliever who can't understand how you got blessed. And they don't realize you got blessed because in the secret place, you sought God, you heard from God, and you received the open blessing for the thing you did in secret. Amen? Now, we are talking about the wisdom of God and fasting. Wisdom of God and fasting. Those two are married together because you can't really have the wisdom of God unless you dedicate yourself to, like we said in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the beginning of knowledge has to be that you're dedicating yourself. What better way of dedicating yourself than to proclaim a fast? What better way to actually put yourself in a position to hear from God than to proclaim a fast and declare, I am dedicating this season, this time, this portion of my life to hearing from God. And because I'm going to listen to God, I am as a result know that this is the confidence I can have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, I know I have those things that I've asked of him. So this is all tied together with our fast and our commitment to dedicating ourselves to hearing the Spirit of God and moving with the Spirit of God to impact the world that we live in. Amen? Now, let's go back to Isaiah 58. So we have a proclaimed fast, which is a fast from all people. We're all getting together. We're all on the same page. We're all fasting together. We're picking out what it is that we're laying down, and we're hearing from God, listening to God, dedicating ourselves to being in the presence of the Lord. And then you have a personal fast, which is my own individual efforts, not to come together to be praying with everybody else, but me by myself going into my prayer closet or your prayer, wherever you go, the edge of your bed or at your kitchen table or wherever you pray, to go to that place, dedicated, quiet, away from everybody else, and allowing what you do in secret to become an open manifestation. Turn to your neighbor and say, manifestation. Manifestation. This is a year of manifestation. Amen? Amen. Paul said this. Paul said fasting was part of his ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, hey, I'm in the middle of turmoils and imprisonments and chains and fastings. He said, all that was part of my, I counted that as part of my ministry. I counted that as part of what I did. It's just what I do as a believer. Fasting should be a part of our regular routine of life as a believer. Amen? We should have seasons of fasting, seasons where we dedicate, that we're blocking out everything else and we're dedicated to hearing from God. And sometimes the big things in your life can get put back in right perspective when you take yourself into a place of prayer. Amen? All right, Isaiah 58. Let's look at the next verse here. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7, so we'll read those again. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And so last week we talked about this a little bit, but I want to get deeper into these. And that is number one, loose the bonds of wickedness. The focus of our fasting is to receive our own deliverance first. The focus of fasting first is to walk into your own deliverance, to receive, to accept your own deliverance. The very first thing that we want to be delivered from is any type of bonds of wickedness. Bonds of wickedness are any type of spiritual oppressions, spiritual things that have come and that they hold you in some form of enslavement. Now, nobody wants to think of themselves as a slave. But if we're addicted to something, you're a slave. If I'm suffering with an addiction, I'm fighting with an addiction, anybody who's ever dealt with any form of addiction, no, you become a slave. Because as soon as you say, I'm not doing it, it tells you, yes, you are. And you get caught into it. And you try to fight your way out of it, and you're fighting your way out of it, but you're like you're fighting inside of a bubble. Because you're hitting this thing, and it just goes out and comes right back to you. And you swing again and it pushes out and it comes right back to you. Why? Because you're not on it, you're in it. And because you're in it, you are trapped by it. And anybody who is in a position where you are battling some form of addiction, no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, the first thing is God's promise here is you need to fast in order to break that thing. You have to fast in order to get this thing broken. Now, before you start the fast, you have to already be assured of one thing is, and that is that you're fasting with God. Because you're not fasting to change God's mind. Because sometimes we're going to enter a fast thinking we're going to change God's mind. Or we're going to start something. We're going to make God do something. No, God's already done it. What has he done? He said, I so love the world, I'm giving my only begotten son. This blood of Jesus that's been shed once and for all. It is already shed. It has got enough power to last from generation to generation. And until I decide to come back, there's enough blood to cover everybody who has a problem, got an issue, got a hang up, got something wrong. There's enough blood already shed to cover it all. I'm done. Jesus on the cross, hanging there, I've lived this life, I'm about to go out of here, it is finished. What I need to do is done. Everything else is going to be a manifestation of what I've already done. So we have to know this, that what God does is God plants a seed, and then with that seed, God brings harvest out of whatever he's sown. So into my life, when I gave my life to Jesus, was a seed of righteousness which God had planted in me. So my challenges with substances, when I gave my life to the Lord, was destroyed by that seed. Can y'all please say amen? Amen. The seed that was sown, the seed of Jesus Christ, the seed of righteousness, the seed of salvation that was sown in me, when I allowed that seed to grow, it overcame the darkness in my life. It didn't have to come from the outside. It had already been sown inside. I just needed to fertilize it and take care of the seed with the word of God and with prayer and with times of fasting. And when I did that, the seed was given the opportunity to grow. And when it broke forth, everybody could see it. Why? Because what God sowed in secret, he rewarded me openly with. What he does, you do in secret, your time of prayer, your time of dedication, your time of fasting, your time of doing this dedication to God when everybody else is eating whatever, that's you sowing in secret. But God, when you sow in secret, he rewards you openly. So this individual walk with God, this individual dedication, it is starting the transformation process that is bringing change in who you are. Now, I want to get into this. Come on. Thank you. Come on, Holy Ghost. Why are we going to do this? Come on. All right. My mind is going like 100 different directions, so I'm going to try to stay so y'all can stay with me. Amen? Verse 7. No, let's keep on. First of all, it's breaking the bonds of wickedness. Next is undoing heavy burdens. Heavy burdens equal to emotional bondages, which could include depression or grief? Depression or grief. Heavy burdens. Heavy burdens. It's not encompassing me around. It's just heavy on me. And I can't get excited about anything. I can't get happy about anything because his heavy burden is on me and it's pushing me down, and I'm trying to push it up, but I can't get it off of me because it's a heavy burden. He said, your fast, this is the fast I've chosen. It's going to undo the heavy burdens. A fast, when you're dedicated, when we're going into this fast, this is the kind of thing that will undo the heavy burden. But again, when you go into the fast, you have to know why you're going in. You have to know why you're going into the fast. You have to go into the fast saying, I am going to undo every heavy burden in my life. That person I lost in my family that I loved and is no longer here, I'm bringing this heavy burden into this fast. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to reveal your freedom in me. You're going to reveal your deliverance in me. You're going to cast off this heavy burden. And when I come out of this fast, I am going to be free. Because I'm already free. I just need to walk out of this thing. I just need to pull myself out. How am I going to pull myself out? Not with physical stuff. Not with mental stuff. You're going to have to pull yourself out with the Word of God. You got to be able to pull yourself out with the word that says, he whom the Son has set free has been made free indeed. Lord, I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that Jesus has made me free. And in the middle of your fast, to declare the word of God over your spirit, to declare the word of God, to say that word, it's time to, oh man, was y'all listening to the beginning of the sermon? Come on, I laid that one on a platter for y'all. Come on, it's time to. What is saying something? In the middle of my fast, I have to start making a declaration of what the Word of God says, because that is what exists. That is what's real to God. So I'm in the middle of my fast, and what am I doing? I'm not just starving myself. I'm declaring what God says. I'm putting myself in position in my prayer that I'm talking to God as I'm listening to God. How do I talk to God? I can just talk if I want to, but I can say his words. I can give God back his words. When Jehoshaphat was calling for a fast, here's what he told the people to do. I'm trying not to turn there because then I'll preach a whole message on this. This is what he told the people to do. He said, everybody's going on a fast. And then he went before the Lord, and this is what he said to the Lord. He said, oh Lord, you have made us promises. You promised our fathers, who you brought out of Egypt, and you kept them, and you showed yourself strong for them as they were overcoming this adversary, and you did this, and you did this. And he kept reminding God and bringing back to God, God, I know what you've done in the past. I know what you've done in the past. I know what you did for them, and I believe you'll do it for us. And so we're dedicating ourselves to get anything out of the way that's been a hindrance to you being the God who you've always been. Because we know something must have come up with us to stop you from being gracious. So that's what he told everybody. What was he doing? He was giving God back his own words. He was giving God back his own words. In the middle of the fast, he's giving God back what God said so that they can receive it and they can move with it. Amen? Amen. All right. Number one is loosing bonds of wickedness. Number two is undoing heavy burdens. Number three is letting the oppressed go free. The oppressed go free. Letting the oppressed go free. Who are the oppressed? Those are held in slavery. Those who are the unforgiven. The unforgiven are the oppressed. And so we talked about last week, when it comes to your role in this, in the middle of our fast, we want to identify anybody who we are holding something against and release it. Let the oppressed go free. Why is it important? Because if you're holding people in captivity, your bars are enslaving you. Your bars that you think you're holding them into is the bars that are actually holding you enslaved. So to be able to do what God says with the Holy Spirit, we're given power to do, the first thing, receive you the Holy Spirit. Whoever you forgive, I'll forgive. The first power of the Holy Spirit is the power of forgiveness. The very first power you get when you receive the Holy Spirit is to forgive and release. Now, last week after service, somebody said, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with you because of this issue. Doesn't God only forgive us when we repent? And so shouldn't people have to repent before I forgive them? Good question. Somebody's been reading the word and thinking about this. Well, here's the reality. God forgave all by Jesus Christ. He's already taken his action to forgive. Who does not receive him doesn't get the benefit of the forgiveness. So until I repent, I don't get the benefit of the forgiveness. But God doesn't have to forgive me when I did because he's already forgiven me. But what people want to miss the step. People want to say, well, God already forgave us, so we don't have to repent. No, that means that your heart isn't ready to receive forgiveness because you just made up your mind. You still want to do what you want to do. My mother forgave me for stuff before I ever acknowledged I did it. But that didn't change the fact that once I did admit it, I had a penalty to pay. And sometimes I got it before I even admit it. I got the penalty before I a confession. And sometimes the penalty makes you confess. Don't wait for the penalty. Confess when you don't have to. Confess with the grace of God. Now, understanding God's grace has been extended in order to create an opportunity. His forgiveness is already given. We already have the forgiveness. The question is, are we in a heart state to receive the forgiveness, to be changed, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to receive God, to be in right relationship with him? Somebody can forgive you, but you still don't have a right relationship. So what's the next step? Somebody has to initiate relationship. Somebody has to actually bring some healing to this. Repentance is our step of bringing healing to God. For on our behalf, not that we're giving it to him, but our step to bring the healing, to bring the renewal. Amen? So the fourth item here that I really want to focus on today is that you break every yoke. It is our personal responsibility to break the yokes and remove the burdens in every environment that we enter. I want you to look at this again. Look at verse 6. The last thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, matter of fact, point your finger, I'm saying, that you break every yoke. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm talking to you too. You break every yoke. That you break every yoke. Now, here's the key. The first three items in this fast were about you being set free. The fourth item in this fast is once you have been set free, it is your responsibility to go into every single environment that you go into, and you need to break the yokes that are in that place. Why? Because you've been set free. Only free people can break other people free. Only free people can break other people free. Why? Because if I can't figure out how to get this yoke off of me, how am I going to unstrap yours? Two magicians tied up in a box. They got ropes tied around their ankles, ropes tied around their wrists. And one says to the other, did you bring the key? And I'm saying, no, I thought you got the key. Well, how are we going to get out? I guess the trick is over. If neither one of us has the key to get out, this show is over. So how in the world can we get free unless God starts to shine his wisdom on us individually through the fast that he speaks to us, shows us how to walk out of our bondage so that we can tell others how to get out of bondage? God, your ministry, your own personal ministry. Put your hand on your own clavicle somewhere up here and say, I've been given a ministry of reconciliation. I've been given by God an opportunity to share my freedom to those in bondage. Amen. Come on. You've been given a ministry. You all, everybody in this room has a ministry to someone, somewhere. There is a place where you have been ordained and called to have ministry exercise. And ministry is to serve people. How do you best serve? When you see oppression, to take it out. Oppression is best. Your service is best. When you spot oppression in an ear, in any kind of environment, and you become the light in that place. You become the one that shines in that place. It starts indicating to people that there is an opportunity for freedom, because we've all been in this prison so long, we forgot what it's like on the other side. The focus of our fasting is to receive our deliverance and then impart that deliverance to somebody else. To receive your own deliverance, to be clear that you're delivered, that you've been made free, to accept the fact that you have actually been made whole, even if you're looking at yourself thinking something's missing. Can you accept that you've been made perfect in Him, that you've been made complete in Him? Or will you let the old voices from everywhere else, from the enemy and everything else, persuade you that you're missing something? Whose report will you believe? The report of the mirror or the report of the Lord? Will you receive the report of the news or the report of the Lord? Will you receive the report of your friend that told you something or the report of the Lord? Will you receive the report of your mother who said, baby, I love you, but you really ain't very bright? Or the report of the Lord? Will you receive the report of God, or will you receive the report of people? Because this becomes the question, and it becomes the key cornerstone as to whether we're walking by faith or walking by sight, is the report that we believe. What are we accepting as true? What are we accepting? And until you can accept the fact that God's doing a work in your life and grasp that revelation and walk that revelation all the way out so that it becomes secret thing that gets manifested openly, your ministry goes nowhere. Even though God's calling on you is to take your destiny. God has called you to be a light in a dark place. God has called you individually. Say, point your finger. I've been called to be a light in a dark place. The enemy persuades us that we're a complaint in a dark place. You can say amen. You're not a complaint in the dark place. You're the light in the dark place. Amen. Go to verse 7. Breaking every yoke includes this. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Our responsibility is to bring an impartation of what we have received to every environment that we go. When we see people who are spiritually hungry, we should be ready to feed them. We see people naturally hungry, we should be ready to feed them. We see people who are spiritually naked, we should be ready to clothe them. We see people who are naturally naked, we should be ready to clothe them. Not just one or the other. Because some people are really spiritual and they will only do stuff spiritually. I will only clothe the spiritually naked because this other stuff doesn't count. I'll only feed the spiritually hungry because this other stuff doesn't count. And you got the extreme on the other side. Yeah, that spiritual stuff don't mean nothing. We're out here doing the real work. No. It's all real work. And like I said, there's people who are clothed beautifully, but absolutely naked. Wonderful, divine clothes. Beautiful clothes. Man, what's the thread count on that? That's wonderful. But totally naked. Totally exposed. Totally out here. And then you have people. Like, we were out doing homeless outreach one day, and we're meeting people who are totally clothed. Clothed in the righteousness of God. No teeth declaring the word of God. Knowing that God's blessed their life. Got nowhere to stay. He's looking at the words of Jesus. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. He said, I don't even have a house, but the glory of the Lord is on me. See, to be clothed means you're going to share the glory of the Lord with people. The glory of the Lord, the goodness of God, sharing it with people, getting people infused with the glory of the Lord. So when you fast, you got to believe God for the reward and not for punishment. Go back to Isaiah 58. Go up to verse 5 real quick. And then we're going to tie this down. I want to show you some more things. God asked them a question. Is it a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? In other words, your fast is not just for you to afflict yourself. It's not just an opportunity to just feel bad about things. Man, I'm fasting. Ugh. If you don't want to fast, don't fast. Don't just leave it alone. If your heart isn't ready to fast, don't fast. Just keep on moving. If you're going to fast and in your mind you're saying, well, I want to fast, but I get cranky when I don't eat. Don't fast. Because you have to be able to look to the fast and for all of the things set before you, look beyond those things to the glory on the other side of it. You got to be able to look past. When you're still looking at your body and looking at how I'm going to feel, you're not ready to fast. You got to be able to, in faith, say, I'm entering a fast with the intent that when I come out of this fast, I'm going to be walking in freedom. I'm going to be walking in power of God. I'm going to be walking in a new level. I'm going a new level of faith with God. Because when you can see that, then your body will be out of the way. Because like I said, it's your spirit and your soul that need to be strengthened, not the body. The body's not the problem. It's what's driving the body. That's what the problem is. Amen? So you got to be able to go into the fast, believing God for his reward, and not looking at the punishment of going into fasting. Amen? All right, what's the reward of fasting? God that sees you in secret, he'll reward you openly. Now let's go back to Isaiah. We're going back down to verse 8. When you've done the right thing and you've done your fasting, it says this, then your light shall break forth like the morning. When we get our attitude correct concerning fasting, our light will break forth. What does light represent? Light represents your influence. Light represents being seen. And that's why fasting is so important, because when God blesses us, it makes us visible. But if when we're visible, we're full of pride, it's not the vision God wants to show. So to be able to be humble, because you've humbled yourself with fasting, and for then God's light to break forth in you, keeps you in a position where God can continue to use you and your pride not drive you into a hole. Your pride not drive you into a place where you are become something that doesn't fit the kingdom. That doesn't fit what God is doing. So when we have fasted, God will make our light break forth. He will cause us to shine like the morning. How many of you have ever been in an evening, stayed up until morning and seen the sun coming up? And when you see the sun coming up, the darkness just has to back up. And if you were darkness and you were minding your own business and this darn light shows up, and this light shows up, and the brighter he gets, he keeps pushing me back. He keeps pushing me out of the way. God is saying, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make your light break forth so that the darkness has to back away. I'm going to make your light so shine that the darkness that wants to oppress you can't, because it doesn't have the substance to stand in the light that God has in you. What you do in secret, God will reward you openly. People will walk down the street and know that the God of all creation is in you. They will see the light of God on you. They will notice something's different about you. Not because you said one word. People will look at you and know. My daughter was somewhere and she said, this person came up and said, it was a guy. Yeah, it was a guy. Walked into the store where she worked. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? Like, yeah, how'd you know? I can see it. She ain't said a word to him. He walks up to her and says, why? Because the light will shine forth. The light will shine forth. Whether you know it or not, some people stay away from you because they see the light. Some people just stay away from you because they see the light on you. You have to pursue those. Those are the ones you got to chase down. Amen? How many of y'all like to chase, folks? Let's look at the rest of this. And we're going to close in just a minute with this. Your light will break forth. Verse 8. Your light will break forth like the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. We talked about this in Bible study on Wednesday. There are some diseases that people are carrying that are darkness-related diseases. They have nothing to do with genetics. They have nothing to do with science. They have absolutely nothing to do with that. And when you start to fast and you start to get in a place, those things begin to push back. Why? Because your health is springing forth. Because we're pulling that stuff out of the way. Those three oppressive things we talked about, those heavy burdens, those bands of wickedness, we started pulling those things back, and we pulled them back and found out, oh my God, I got healing in here. My friend bought a house, about this old house, and there's a raggedy carpet on the floor. And so they fixing the house up and everything else. So they go and they pull back the carpet. They say, oh my God, look at these beautiful hardwood floors underneath this dirty carpet. Wow, why'd they cover that up? Because it was good when they put it down. And guess what? In your spirit are beautiful things that are covered up by some dirty rugs that you've been carrying around for a long time. And one day God's gonna pull back that rug and say, oh my God, this was in here all the time. Yes, it's been there all the time. All the time has been there, but that dirty rug was sitting on top of it. What is that? That's you peeling back all this mess that we're peeling back in this fast. And guess what? When you start peeling it back, it might be bugs and all kind of stuff coming up. It might be things you ain't never expected coming up because it's coming up with the dirt that's on the rug. And so some of us are in this fast and crazy stuff is starting to happen. And you're like, what in the, where did this come from? Why is this happening? Because you're pulling back that filthy rug. And you're going to pull back and then don't quit. Some people will start pulling the rug back and then the bugs start flying. They say, oh, I'm leaving. I dare. Oh, man, I'm not pulling that up. No way. No, pull that dirty thing up. Pull it up all the way. Pull it all the way back. Get it all the way out of there and let God reveal what he's put in you. The seed of God has already been planted in us. And God is doing a work. We have to be ready to have it when it comes. Your healing will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The righteousness of God will get places before you even get there. You'll be trying to figure out what you're going to say to these people when you get there, and the righteousness of God will already went ahead and made a way. God will start going before you. And doing things. Why? Because he's already been made righteous to us. He'll start going ahead of us. We're trying to figure out what we're going to say, and he's already gone ahead and made provision. Amen? Because he's Jehovah Jireh. He does stuff like that. Amen? The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So the righteousness is going before you, but God's glory. Moses was gone to the mountain to talk with God. And he said, God, I want to see you. I've been talking to you all this time, and man, you showed me the little burning bush, but I want to see you, God. I want to see you. God said, you can't handle it. I'm just going to have you close your eyes. I want you to think about this. Close your eyes, and I'm going to pass by and let you see my glory from behind me. With his eyes closed, the glory of the Lord passed him and said he was like a dead man. With his eyes closed, he said, that glory's got your back. Sometimes your friends say, man, I got your back, man. Got your back. I got your back, partner. Got your back. You turn around, where'd he go? Oh man, he's in front of me. He's running. I got to catch him. I got his back now. But God says, my glory will have your back. My glory will be your rear guard. You don't have to worry about anything. I got you front with righteousness. My glory's got you from behind. I got you covered, says the Lord. Amen. We're fasting. We're releasing this when we're fasting. This is what's under the dirty rug, y'all. This is what's under the rug. Your light breaking forth is influence. Your health springing forth. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And the righteousness of God going before you are protection. And then the last thing, then you will call on me and I will answer you. It's authority. That when you call on the Lord, he will answer. When you call, he will answer. Because he's God. Amen? Amen. So we're fasting with intent. We are not fasting for nothing. We are fasting with intent. If we take away the yokes from among us and don't blame other people, this is the final keys here. So we have these things God, he promises, but then the very end of this passage here, if you take away the yoke, verse 9, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will dawn in darkness. Now, first, he said, when you deal with your own stuff, you'll shine. But then he said, when you start taking yokes out of environments, when you start doing things for other people, when you start extending your soul to somebody else, when you start reaching out more, when you start being just more about you and you start being about other people, then your light is going to shine so that your dark days will be like noon. Your darkness will be like noon when you start to get past you and start to impart to other people. Here's what your destiny is. Some people try to figure out their destiny. Let me tell you what your destiny is. Your destiny is to have the Spirit of God revealed in you such a way that people can't do anything but say, that is God. That's your destiny. Now, the path to your destiny may be different. The path to your destiny may be that you're fivefold ministry. Your path to your destiny may be that you're a business person. Your path to your destiny may be that you're an educator. Your path to your destiny may be that I take care of my family. Your path may be all those things. But the manifestation of God doesn't require a position. You understand what I'm saying? The manifestation of God does not require me to be in any particular position. It only requires that wherever I am, what I do in secret, I allow God to reveal openly. Because God will supernaturally do things. I wanted to be an architect when I graduated from college. Actually, when I went to college, I wanted to be an architect. When I graduated, it's a different story. When I went to college, I wanted to be an architect. I said, I'm gifted. Man, I took drafting in high school, took 2 years of drafting. I got straight A's in drafting. Like, this is a natural. I'm going to be an architect. So I'm ready. I sent out my college applications. And a couple places told me, are you kidding? You got A's here, but look at the rest of your grades. So I went to a community college, and I went there, and I'm first semester in college, straight A's. Yeah, I knew it. I knew all those other teachers were wrong. My destiny is to be an architect. That's what I believed, and I was so focused on my destiny, what I'm going to do. This is me. This is what I am. I thought that's all I was. That's my gift. That's what I have. That's what I'm doing. And so I believe that what I became would make me But then all of a sudden, the God who I didn't believe in at the time started unraveling my life. Start taking the pieces apart, dismantling it. Till then, I'm stuck with, I don't know what I am. And matter of fact, not only do I know, I don't know what I am, I don't even care what I am anymore. I give my life to the Lord. And then I figure, okay, now I just got to find that destiny again. So I'm going to do this. Didn't work. Do this. Didn't work. And I keep trying to do stuff and it's not working. And I'm, man, but God, I love you. How come this ain't working? What's wrong? And I keep trying to do things. I'm doing everything except one thing. I'm asking him what's wrong. I'm not asking him what to do. I'm asking him why my idea here isn't working. Why my old idea over here isn't working. These are good ideas, Lord. These are great. Matter of fact, these are great ideas. How come they're not working? They're not working because I was still trying to make my destiny who I was. I was still trying to make my destiny be my actions. And then the Holy Spirit showed me, I'm going to teach you something that if you understand this, no matter where you go, if you hearken to my voice, I will make you prosper no matter where you go. No matter what you do. Because this world is not the real world. So you can do whatever you want to do in this real world. But the real key is to be able to get in a place to hear from God, hearken your voice to the voice of the Lord, and then wherever you are, be what God says to be. With no limit, I'm an architect. I can't do that. God has got me right now where I, some reason, really believe if God puts me somewhere, I can do it. I have this really strange belief that if God sticks me anywhere, I can do it. If I am on an airplane and the plane is going down, and I don't have a pilot's license, nor have I taken any pilot's classes. I really believe. Get me in that cockpit. All right, I spoke my own word. Get me in the cockpit, and it'll be all right. Not because I'm smart, because I know God talks. And that if I can get myself in position to incline my ear, he's going to say something and I will hear it. And when I hear it, I will move on the wisdom he speaks. And when he moves, I'll be right in position to experience a manifestation. And people say, wow, how did that happen? I'll be able to say, I hearkened to the voice of the Lord. I did what God said to do. And we are all surviving because the voice of the Lord came. I heard his wisdom and I moved in the wisdom. And that's what he wants to do for you. He wants you to hear his voice so clear that your name becomes Moses to the people around you. You become a deliverer to the people in your environment. You become a deliverer to the people that are needing you, that need change from you, that need your strength. They need what God has put in you. You become the deliverer. How come? Because Christ in me is the hope of glory. He in me. Oh. That Christ in us is changing us. He's changing. He's making this more than just church on Sunday. He's making us so influential by the light of God that's breaking forth from us that people can't resist the words of God that come out of your mouth. The world is waiting. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to keep saying this over and over again. All of creation is groaning and travailing, awaiting the manifestation, the showing up, the light breaking forth of the sons of God. That's what the world is waiting for. The world wants to believe, but it doesn't always have something to believe in. That's why millions of young people are flocking to musicians because they deliver what they promise. Hey, I'm going to sing. You're going to watch me. We all going to have a good time. And they deliver. But it's a good time for a few minutes, and then it's over. It's positive in many ways, but it's not eternal. We're bringing positive and eternal impact. We're bringing people eternal impact. But if you can't believe you're the light, then you'll crush under the glory. You have to know that he's called you. You have to be comfortable with the fact that you are the light, and that when people are drawn to you, that you don't draw back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul has no delight in them." In other words, God says, I have delight in you when you boldly continue to step forward by faith. When you step forward by faith, that's when I'm pleased. Your step forward by faith is to take this fast that we're on, figure out how you want to do it. What means something to you? Does it mean something just to have, I'm taking 3 days and I'm fasting? Does it mean something, I'm doing away with meat? Does it mean something, I'm getting off social media? Does it mean something to say, I'm guarding my mouth? Whatever means something to you, whatever is important enough to you to lay down to be near God, whatever means enough to you, that's what I want you to gravitate to, grasp a hold of. That's what I want you to do. I want you to know that when you do this, you need to do it then expecting, God, I'm laying this down. And I know this is not changing your mind, but I know it's changing me. And when I'm changed, when I'm transformed, I'm going to shine like light. And when I am, I'm going to give nobody glory except you. Some of us are in jobs right now that need the light in your soul to be revealed. Some of us are in positions right now, they need the light that's in you to be revealed. It's the only way that some people will actually ever get exposure to the light of God is when you shine. So that's what we're doing in the fast. We're taking what we're doing and we're expecting God to make us so influential, not human influence, so influential that no matter what environment we go to, people see God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah.